James chapter 4, beginning with verse number 13. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. For as ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live, and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings, all such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. I want to call your attention, especially to verse number 14. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. The brevity of one's life. That's the title of my message tonight, the brevity of one's life. Shall we pray? Now, Heavenly Father, again, we do thank and praise you for this opportunity. Father, something that's a very serious thing of the Word of God, preaching the Word of God. And dear God, I pray that you would help me now to say and preach the right things, things that would honor and glorify you, uplift the saints, that would encourage, that would convict, that, Lord, just do the perfect work that you desire to be done even tonight. Be with each and every one that are here. Thank you for them. Lord, you know each and every heart and each and every need. We ask you to bless Pastor Jerry and Sister Cheryl's there away. Just give them safety as they travel back. Pray for the Master's Clubs, dear God, is going on even tonight and other parts of the building. We ask you to bless them and bless his time. And Father, just may it be a profitable time, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, you may be seated. I have a special announcement to make. You are looking at a dying man. You say, well, I knew that already. It's like you died a long time ago. Anyway, you mean, well, Brother Poet, you have some dreaded disease like cancer or leukemia or some dreaded disease or something like that? No, not to my knowledge, I don't. I do have a heart problem, but that's another situation. But I do not have any dreaded disease that I know of. But what are you talking about then? You're dying. Well, it's a little three-letter word that it's called sin. It's called sin. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12 tells us, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And simply this, folks, when you and I were born, and by the way, those who I'm looking at right now, you're all dying too, by the way, so I'm not in this boat by myself, all right? But we began to die the moment we were born. The very moment we took our first breath, then we began to die. So that's what I want to talk about tonight, the brevity of one's life. The brevity of one's life. Number one, these are not truths that you haven't already heard before, but again, repetition is good. I told the young people in chapel this morning, nothing wrong with repetition. Nothing wrong with hearing things again and again to take us back to some things that we need to be reminded of. Number one, life is short. Life is short. We all probably read the story about this 14-year-old girl in Terre Haute that went to sleep one night, and during that night, she died. I mean, she just died, instead of natural causes. And we say, oh my, that's such a terrible thing, and it is a tragic thing in a lot of ways. But, you know, Pastor Drake talked about reading the obituaries, you know. I do that, too. And, of course, I look at it from a different perspective than he does. He talked about being 45, and he had 25 more good years left. Well, you know what? I've only got 9 more years left. So I look at it from a little different perspective than he does. But life is short. Life is short. And there's not a one of us here tonight that's guaranteed, folks, that we're going to be here tomorrow. Now, I have plans, and you have plans, and we have certain things that we want to do, maybe even tonight, and maybe tomorrow, or even next week, or next month, or whatever. We have plans, and there's nothing wrong with making plans. I think it's proper. I think that's good. But you know what? We're not guaranteed that we're going to be here to fulfill those plans. We're not guaranteed that tomorrow we're going to be here. So life is short. Psalms chapter 90 and verse 10 tells us that, you know, if God gives us 80 years and 10, then that's, you know, that's great. And like I said, I'm only 9 years away from that. So, but no one's guaranteed another moment, another minute, another hour, another day, another week, a month, or a year. But we make plans for the future without the assurance that we are going to be able to fulfill those plans. We're making plans, probably some are making plans right now for maybe trips you're going to take, or you're making plans to go to work tomorrow, or you're making plans for the holidays that are coming up in a few months. And, you know, but realistically speaking, folks, life is short. We are not guaranteed that we will be here. We do not know when God's going to call us home or when he comes again. We don't know. You know, think about this. Amen. Right now, while you and I are here in a church service, right now, there are folks dying. Tonight, when you go home, and when we go home and lay our pillow on the bed and try to get a good night's sleep, some folks are going to die. Sometime during the night, people will die. Young people, old people, healthy people, sick people, those who were expected to die, those who were not expected to die. Rich, poor, black, white, death plays no favorites. And life is short. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 1 tells us, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." God in Genesis chapter 2, verse 17, talking to Adam and Eve, and he told them not to partake of that fruit. He says, "For the day that you eatest of that tree, or eatest of that fruit, you shall surely die." God tells us in his word through the David the prophet, David, King David, while being pursued by King Saul, he said, "I'm only a heartbeat away from death." Think about that. That's how close we are to death. Life is short, folks. Life is short. And James here tells us that our life is like a vapor. Verse number 14. What is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Just a short time. You know, we have all these modern technology. We have all this stuff in modern medicine. And we was talking to Elizabeth yesterday about getting her gallbladder taken out. And they've got this new procedure, which I had to go through too. And so I could, I guess, kind of sympathize with her for going through that. And they can do it now and can take it out. And it's not painless, but it's a lot easier than what it used to be. And the recovery time is so much quicker also. And we have all this modern medicine, all this modern technology, and we're trying to do all that we can as a society to find a cure for all the ailments in society, cancer, leukemia, and Alzheimer's, all kinds of different ailments. But you know what? We can't find, and there is no cure for death. Folks are still going to die. Folks are still going to die. No matter if they come up with a cure for all of these things, there'll still be something else that people will die of. And they found cures for many things, but they'll never find a cure for death. You remember some of you men who remember any baseball players, remember Ted Williams? Ted Williams died here a short time ago, and his family, some members of his family got hooked up with these nutcases that have taken the body of Ted Williams and frozen it. I don't remember what he had. I don't remember what he died of. But they've taken his body, and someplace his body is now being held in frozen storage for the day when the cure comes for whatever the disease was that he had. And so they can, you know, whatever their purpose is. They're just a bunch of scoundrels, by the way. Charlatans. But the truth of the matter is, folks, Ted Williams is dead. Ted Williams is dead. He's out into eternity right now. He's breathed his last breath. And once we breathe our last breath in this life, we die. Some folks die peaceably. Some go through pain when they die. Some go through much suffering. But all will die unless Jesus takes us home first. The Bible says that appointed unto man wants to die. After that, the judgment. Some people die prematurely. Some people die of old age. Some people die from war wounds. Some people die because they were innocent victims. Some people die for a various assortment of different things. But they die. If you know anything about the Christian Science scientist movement, they're just nothing but a false cult started by Mary Baker, Tyler, Jones, Smith. She had all kinds of husbands, you know. But anyway, they all died. I wonder why. I wonder why they all died before she did. If I had a wife like that, I think I'd commit suicide too. But anyway, one of their beliefs... know where I'm coming from? One of their beliefs is this. One of their doctrines is this. that when people get sick, they don't really get sick. They just think they get sick. Okay? When you die, you don't really die. You just thought you died. You just pretended to die. So there you are. You're laying there. You're dead, you know. And then people come and they pretend to mourn for you because you're not really dead. And then you go to a funeral home and there you're laying in the casket, but you're not really dead, so you pretend you're dead, and you're laying there, and they come and they pretend to mourn for you, and they pretend to give the last rites, and they mourn and have all the service and everything, and you know they preach you into heaven, but of course, really, you're not there, you're not dead, you just thought you died. Okay? Then they take the casket, and I'm not trying to be, you know, overly humorous on this, folks, but then they take the casket and you take it to the cemetery, and they lay that casket with that body in the ground, and then that person is, you know, laid to rest. But they didn't really die. So why go through all that? Well, why go to cemeteries and see all these grave markers of all these people laying there, and but they're not really dead? Well, this is, you know, this is kind of stupid, you know. But that's just a belief of some people. But the point is, folks, life is short, and we will die sometime unless the Lord takes us home. Unless the Lord comes and receives us first. And this is so true. But what I'm saying, folks, is life is short. Make plans for the future, of course. Have things that we want to do, of course. There's things that we ought to do. We ought to be like that. But realistically speaking, folks, before this year ends, before this night ends, some folks are going to die. And as no one in this room has a, you know, your favorite with God, and God's going to keep you alive, you know, tonight might be your night. Life is short. Life is short. Ecclesiastes tells us there's a point, you know, a man, a time born, a time to die. And that's just the way it is. Boast not yourself of tomorrow, because you do not know what a day may bring forth. Many people work so they can retire, and they look forward to a day when they can retire. Praise God, 2 years ago I was able to retire. I think of a couple of men that I worked with. One fellow's name was Ron Doherty, and he was kind of a happy-go-lucky type of guy. He was a supervisor there at the post office, and he had like a month to go before he retired. And he had some rental property there in Terre Haute, and he didn't, you know, went around and fixed up what needed to be fixed up. Well, he was fixing a roof one time, and he had about 30 days to go till he retired, getting all set up for retirement. All set to enjoy himself, and he fell off a ladder, fell off the roof, one of the two, hit the ground, and he died, killed himself, just a man who was in his probably early 50s. I think of another fellow who was older than that. His name was Herod, Fritz Herod. Used to work on the railway postal trains when they had the mail on the trains, and of course they done away with those, so then they put these people into the system, the postal system, and he became a dock worker where I was at, and he was a TME, which is a man who takes care of all the trucks, sending the trucks out, keeping a log for all the trucks that went on and so forth. Well, that was his job. This is a Friday night, and we were working on the dock together with other people, and he sat down about 5:30 in the morning and wasn't feeling too good. Time to go home was 7 o'clock, and he sat there for a while, and we tried to see if there's anything wrong with him, and he said, I'm okay. Set about 5 minutes till 7, he walked into the doors to go clock out, fell over dead, just like that. Now, he was an older man, I understand that. He had some physical problems, but what I'm saying is life is short. Life is short. We got to understand, folks, you know, we're not guaranteed that we'll be here tomorrow. Life is short. Not only is life short, but death is a reality. Death is a reality. The moment of death, eternity begins. The Bible again, I quoted this verse before, where the Bible again tells us it's appointed unto man once to die, but after that, the judgment. Everyone at death, and death is a reality, no matter what these Christian Science people might say, but every one of us, unless Jesus comes back again, will be facing death someday. Every one of us someday will breathe that last breath. Every one of us someday will cross over into eternity. And we've got to be prepared for that. Death is a reality. There's another false cult called the people who believe in reincarnation. I don't know if you know anything about that belief or not, but I used to work with a lady when I worked for the post office, and her name was Callie Avery. And got talking to her one day, and she says, I don't believe that stuff about dying in eternity. She says, because what I am now and how I act as a human being will depend on what I become in my next life. So there's people that believe that, you know, they believe in this reincarnation stuff. They believe that you don't really die, but while you're in this life, if you were a dog and you were a good dog, then you can be reincarnated to something better. Okay, like a monkey or something, all right? But if you were a bad dog, and you know, you become something bad, you become something worse, and you stay something worse until the next life, and you do something good, and you become something good. I don't understand, again, all the beliefs, all that, but they don't believe in death. They believe that you can be reincarnated into something else, good or bad, depending on how you lived your life in that body, whatever you were. Strange stuff people have, strange ideas. But folks, that's not a Bible truth. That's not a Bible doctrine. The moment of death, we will step out into eternity. And we will, if a person is unsaved, if you're here tonight, you're not sure that you're saved, you've never trusted in Christ as your personal Savior, you will step out into a Christless eternity. You will step out into an eternity where the Bible says hell awaits you. And you will spend an eternity in the lake of fire. And it's so important that right now we make that decision. I was talking to a young man just this afternoon, of all places, in a cemetery. And I was talking to him, and he was out fishing there. And I stopped by and gave him a track and tried to talk to him, explain to him, you know, this life doesn't end at all. There's an eternity ahead. Anyway, but you'll step out into a Christless eternity. That's why it's so important to make the right choice in this matter of salvation. That's why it's so important that you become born again. That's why it's so important that you trust in Christ as your personal Savior. Because at death, eternity begins. At death, eternity begins. Life is short. Death is a reality. And eternity begins at the end of death. And we're either going to go to heaven or we're going to go to hell. Depends on our trusting in Christ or our rejection of Christ. That's just it. You know, there's no such place as purgatory. There's no such... Well, I have to take that back. I was reading, my wife was on this two-week vacation without me a month or so ago. Made me live by myself and be a bachelor for 2 weeks. Anyway, I have a hobby of collecting newspapers, and she brought a whole stack of newspapers home. And this is a place in, I believe, Wyoming. It's called Purgatory, right? Wyoming. So I had to retract that statement. There is such a place as Purgatory, but it's in America. But anyway, just squash that last statement, please. Anyway, but my point is this. You know, there are beliefs or religious beliefs that say, well, you know, when you die and... You know, you go to a place where you're going to be cleansed, and you go to a place where people can pray for you and give money. Somehow money is always involved in it. But, you know, and when enough prayers are said and when enough money is given, then you can be prayed out of purgatory. Well, folks, that's not in the Bible. There's no stopping off place. There's no purgatory. And by the way, you don't have to wait 400 years to become a saint. You know, this poor Theodore Guerin lady. I don't know anything about her, you know, but she performed two miracles supposedly, and now she's on the road to sainthood. The moment you got saved, you become a saint. And by the way, if I have to perform miracles, or if I have to do some real supernatural things to get to heaven, I'm in trouble. So are you. But anyway, what I'm saying, eternity begins. That's it begins at the moment that you die. And life is short, and death is a reality. And we need to understand that eternity is real. And to the unsaved, if you're not saved, you need to make sure of that. Hell awaits those who've never trusted in Christ as their Savior. But to the Christian, right now, we ought to be preparing for eternity. Right now, we ought to be laying up treasures in heaven. You know, we call ourselves Christians. Do you understand what that means? We're supposed to be a little Christ. We're supposed to be like Christ. We're supposed to be Christ-like. And we ought to realize that as our King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that someday you and I will stand before Him. And we will give an account of our lives. We will stand before Him, and we will, you know, say to Him, you know, why we didn't serve Him. Why we didn't speak for Him. why we didn't stand up for him, why we didn't pray, why we didn't win souls for the Lord, why we didn't live a separated life, why we didn't spend time with him, why we didn't rear our children for him. We're going to stand before the King of Kings one day and give an account of our life. The Bible says at the Bema Seat, according to 1 Corinthians. And you know what? It's not going to be a happy time for a lot of Christians. It's not going to be a time where we're going to be, you know why? Because for whatever reasons, we're going to stand before him, and many Christians are going to be there. And if we were to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we're going to see that the apostle talks about those who were saved yet as by fire. There's going to be Christians who are going to stand before the Lord, and they're just saved. That's it. They're just saved. They'll have no rewards. They'll have no crowns. They'll be saved yet as by fire, saved only by the skin of their teeth, someone has said. They lived for self and self-pleasure. They lived for their own whims and wishes, not for the Lord, not for others. They lived a life of sacrifice. I'm sorry, a life of comfort and not of sacrifice. They were more concerned about the temporal things of this world than the spiritual, eternal things. They never taught a Sunday school class, never was on a bus route, never went soul winning, never did anything but maybe show up to church. I don't know, and I'm not trying to be judgmental or critical, but you know what? If you think, and if I think of all that Jesus Christ has done for us, how he loves us, went to the cross for our sins, the just for the unjust, died for our sins, and has saved us. We have eternal life through him. He blesses us, and we can receive rewards. Why can we not do something for him?
Amen.
Why can we not do some works for him?
Right.
Saved? Yes. A lot of Christians, I believe, are going to be saved. But as by fire, the Bible says. And that's as far as their Christianity went. Other Christians, though, will be rewarded for their faithfulness. You know, if you work on a bus, you teach a Sunday school class, you have a chance to preach once in a while in a nursing home, you go around helping others, you work in a master's club, you work with the youth, you work in the music, whatever you do, these are the ones that God is going to reward. I think Brother John Reiser, I was talking to him the other day. It's been a while, maybe a few weeks ago. And he's talking to some, and I don't remember the whole story because I forget things easy anymore. But he's talking to this other guy who goes to another church or goes someplace. But he said, this guy was asking him, you drive a bus on Sunday? You go around and pick up kids on Sunday? Brother John says, yes. Well, how much do you get paid? And he'll correct me if I'm wrong, but he said something to the effect, well, we don't get paid for doing this. It's a ministry. It's a talent that God's allowed us to use for him. And you know, our rewards are not here necessarily. Now, God does bless us, and God does reward us at times, but it's not the important thing. It's for eternity. And that little bus kid, that you take time to and go around and visit and bring into Sunday school and church, and see those kids get saved, and see them have some purpose in life. It's worth it all. You know, I was a bus kid when I was growing up. And I didn't go to an independent Baptist church, though. I went to the Church of the Nazarene. But somebody come around, cared enough about us, took us to church. And but anyway, you know, care about people. And there are people who, you know, you faithful Sunday school teachers and whatever position you may have or whatever ministry you may have, just thank God for that. But just keep doing it. Just keep doing it. Because others will be rewarded for their faithfulness. They will be rewarded with crowns. And that's what it's all about. Not that we deserve them, not that we sacrificed or give our all that, you know, people might have crown that, you know, that we might have these crowns, but we do it for him. We do it for him. And I'd just like to finish up with these five crowns that we can earn. Number one, 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 8, Paul talks about the crown of righteousness. Crown of righteousness. Number two, the crown of glory, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 4, that God will give to those who were faithful to him. One preacher said, faithful preachers who faithfully preach the Word of God were the right kind of example to the flock. The crown of righteousness, one fellow said, was man, people who stood true to the Lord. The martyr's crown, Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 10, those Christians who, through their death for the cause of Jesus Christ, they lost their life, they give their lives. Those Christians who, you know, give the ultimate sacrifice for the Lord. And you know, folks, that may not be too far off from America. That just may not be too far off from America. You look how America's getting, and you look at the freedoms that we used to enjoy 30, 40 years ago. We don't have them anymore. You know, Pastor Jerry mentioned something about, you know, you got to be careful. At least in this pastor in Canada talked about, he had to be careful what he said about the sodomites because, you know, he could get in trouble. And all these other things that, you know, we take a stand on. And it could cause a day when we may have to be called upon to be a martyr. And I don't know if you've ever read Fox's Book of Martyrs or ever read any book or anything dealing with those who gave their lives in the early days. But I'll tell you what, these weren't wimpy Christians. These were serious Christians. They took this Christ, this serving Christ and living for Christ very seriously. I mean, they realized there was a cost involved. Today, we don't have this cost. Today, we have convenient Christianity. You know, today we have a type of Christianity that's so watered down and so weak that it doesn't even look anything like the Christianity of the days gone by. The martyr's crown, though, that could be given to those who will give their life for the cause of Christ. Number four, crown of rejoicing. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19, a soul-winning crown. Soul winner's crown. Boy, I'll tell you what, that ought to be everybody's desire in this room. Amen. To learn to be a soul winner. Amen. Learn how to win souls to Christ. Pastor Jerry mentioned that. I didn't even know that. I didn't know until he mentioned that one time. He said the reason why, one of the reasons why he went to college was he wanted to learn to be a soul winner. And you know, learn how to be a soul winner. Learn to win souls to the Lord. It's so important. Folks get saved. They have to get saved. They have to hear the gospel, or they won't get saved. But the soul winner's crown. Number five, the incorruptible crown. Chapter 9, verse 22. Faithful stewardship. Faithful stewardship to the Lord. What am I saying? Life is short. Before this night ends, some of us could be out into eternity. If you're here tonight, you're not sure you're saved. You need to make sure of that. It's so important. You say, "Oh, I'm in the peak of health. I have no problems. I've got all these things I want to do. I got all these, you know, different things I'm involved in, and you know, I don't have time to die." Well, the Lord told that rich farmer, "Tonight your soul will be required of you." We don't know. If you're here tonight, you need to make sure of that. But how about it, Christian? How about it, believer? How about it, one who's trusted in Christ? How about it? Are you laying up crowns in heaven? Are you serving the Lord? Are you doing right? It's so important. It's so important. So life is short. Death is a reality. And eternity is a truth. And all of us will someday spend eternity somewhere. I hope if you're saved that you've been serving the Lord and you're laying up treasures in heaven. Shall we pray? Father, we thank and praise you for the Word of God, and thank you for your help and strength day by day. Thank you for your love for us. Lord, I do pray if there's any here among us who does not know Christ as their personal Savior, may they realize the other importance of eternity, that each and every one of us will someday spend an eternity somewhere. And Lord, if they're not saved, may they come to that saving knowledge of Thee. I pray to God for those who are saved that we would look at our hearts and lives, and Lord, just examine us, and may you examine us, and Lord, may we be those who will lay up treasures in heaven. You know the hearts, and you know each and every person's life here tonight. I pray, Father, you bless this invitation with your help and power. In Jesus' name, amen.